Greetings. I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Laurie Ruth, who is legal director of the Women's Law Center of Maryland. And this is the second show we're doing with Laurie. And this show is a follow-up on the legislative session and the various laws and bills that have passed and how they affect us and when will they affect us and what can we do to get better laws in the future. So, Laurie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do a second show. I know you are very, very busy. First of all, for those of our listeners who did not hear the first show, could you tell us a little bit about the Women's Law Center of Maryland, please?
Sure. The Women's Law Center is a nonprofit. We are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. It was formed by a group of female law school students in 1972 from the University of Maryland School of Law. And we advocate on issues that affect women and children and families. We have direct representation projects, and we also have some statewide hotlines.
Uh-huh. How can someone find out more information?
You can go to our website at www.wlcmd.org. And on there, you can see some of the projects we work on and other things. You can also register to receive our legislative alerts that we send out during the legislative session. In Maryland, that legislative session is from the second Wednesday in January through the first Monday in April. It is 90 days long. And this past year, we sent out 28 total email alerts. So that's sort of what's going on every day and every week during the session.
Yeah, so that's a great way to keep informed. And they would go on the website to sign up for that?
They can go on the website to sign up for that. If you have specific questions, you can call our main office at 410-321-8761, and we can answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Let's talk more about legislative session 2022 that concluded recently. You mentioned the last time about several laws that had been enacted that in this session, and I think you would agree was a very positive session in many, many ways.
Absolutely.
What are those important laws that our folks should be aware of?
Well, I'll talk to you a little bit about the Women's Law Center's efforts because I personally lobby on issues of domestic violence, family law, reproductive choice, and then our executive director lobbies about really financial issues and workplace issues that affect women. And so we had 38 of our bills that we supported that passed. We submitted written testimony on 83 bills and presented oral testimony on 32 bills.
Wow.
And every bill that we opposed was defeated. So that was good news because sometimes you're down there trying to stop the passage of what we consider to be bad laws. And I don't know how much your audience pays attention, but those who do may have noticed that the legislature sent a whole slew of bills to the governor prior to the end of session because the way the rules work, they had to do that so that if he was going to veto bills, they could come back in time for them to override the vetoes, which they did. And so one of the biggest bills that the governor vetoed that was overridden is the Paid Family and Medical Leave Act. It was Senate Bill 275. You mentioned effective dates. I will say, generally speaking, bills become effective October 1 of this year, but they can always change that. So the medical leave bill is becoming effective on June 1st this year. It was signed as an emergency bill, essentially. So that's a bill that's going to allow people to take up to 12 weeks of paid leave, and in certain circumstances, up to 24 weeks of paid leave if they work for an employer who has over 15 employees. And that it was really a response bill to COVID, where they recognized that families have to take leave for a variety of reasons. So it's not just if I'm sick, I get to take leave. Yeah. I can take leave if I have a child or a parent or a spouse or partner who is ill or has a serious health condition as well. So it broadened that. And you have to, there are a lot of provisions. It's a very long, multi-page bill, but it's a great progressive bill that will give families the ability to care for other family members when they need to. And so it actually is going to be like an insurance program, and your 10 cents a paycheck is going to go out towards building this fund. And the program actually doesn't begin until January 1st of 2025. So, but the payments will begin October 1 of 2023. And between now and then, they'll be working on the details.
Would the details be which types of businesses or employees?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to develop regulations. The Department of Labor is going to have to develop rate contributions, percentages contributed by employers and employees, and other just, you know, how it's actually going to work.
Yeah.
So that will be the Maryland Department of Labor's job. And, you know, I guess employers will have to inform their employees once we know what those details are.
Yeah.
And then another big bill that the Women's Law Center was a part of was the Abortion Access Act, which was Senate Bill 890 and House Bill 937. Just to remind people, we are a bicameral system, so each bill has to go through both the House and the Senate and come out in identical form for it to become law. This was also vetoed by the governor and overridden, and it goes into effect July 1st. So not that typical October 1st day, but effective July 1st. Mm-hmm. And what this Abortion Access Act does is establish a clinical training program in Maryland with a $3.5 million fund, because our original abortion laws were passed in the 70s after Roe versus Wade, and were in a sense a reaction to back alley abortions that were not performed by trained and licensed medical professionals. So right now, abortion can only be performed in Maryland by a physician, an MD. This bill will train nurse practitioners, physicians assistants, licensed certified midwives, and others on how to perform abortion. The interesting thing is that over 50% of abortions now are actually medical abortions. In other words, it's by pill. So it's not exactly an advanced medical science to prescribe a pill.
Right.
But that, and there's also going to be insurance provisions so that abortion is covered by Maryland Medicaid and private health insurance.
No, that's a great step forward.
Yeah, well, it's an effort in the, you know, in light of what's going on in the country and in front of the Supreme Court, to make sure that we have abortion health care in Maryland that women need. And and so it's a great strengthening of our already existing laws.
Would that be subject to a Supreme Court ruling?
No. So the whole point of, you know, federalism and state law is I could do hours and hours on that. But basically, if Roe versus Wade is struck down by the feds, they will leave it to every state to do what they want. And states like Maryland will still make abortion legal, and other states are going to make it illegal. And so every state will be able to do what it wants. And Maryland wants to make sure that we preserve and strengthen the right to this healthcare in our state.
Yeah.
Another really important progressive bill in Maryland this year was banning what are called ghost guns. And again, I don't know if your audience knows what ghost guns are, but they are guns that you essentially purchase the pieces of the guns through the internet and build it yourself. And so there's no registration number on that gun, and they're untraceable. And what they've seen nationally, and also the statistics in Maryland, reveal a huge uptick in the use of ghost guns in crime. And so this is a, you know, we already are a state that has pretty strict gun control laws.
Right.
But this one is very, very important to ban these ghost guns so that they're not out on the streets being used for crimes and being untraceable. So that was not a Women's Law Center bill, but it is a good bill. Similarly, there was a very strong climate change bill. Again, not a Women's Law Center initiative, but I want your audience to know about it, effectively trying to reduce our carbon footprint in this state. And there's some barometers and timelines of 2030 and 2045. I think the naysayers said, well, why should we do anything if the states around us aren't going to do anything? But I don't think that's an appropriate way to address climate change. So I think it's right for our state to do what we can to try to save this planet for our children, essentially.
It's like saying that, you know, why should I why should I protect my house against fire, right?
Right, exactly.
But,
when it could spread to the next door.
But it's again that thing of, you know, let's also help our neighbors. You know what I mean? Let's also think about our neighbors.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. So there will be, if you vote, which I hope every single person does, there will be on the ballot a referendum about whether to approve recreational use of cannabis or marijuana. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, there was a different opinion in the House and the Senate on how to approach this, and we wound up with a referendum on the ballot in the fall. So my suspicion is they wouldn't have passed that bill if they didn't know that the polls show that it will pass. So, and then they'll spend the next year or two regulating that and figuring out how they want to do it. That bill also reduces penalties for small personal use marijuana and allows you to have two marijuana plants in your possession or your home as long as they're not available to the public. And some expungement for people who have crimes on their records for marijuana possession. So that's a good bill that's tried to, I think, balance competing interests, but is moving towards what 20 other states or 28 other states or something already do, which is legalize recreational marijuana.
Yeah, and to get away from the fact that so many draconian kind of sentences have been given out for just minor possession.
Well, that's right. And usually that's done against black and brown people.
Right.
So the inequities of it have been astounding. And all of the research shows that that's true, So this tries to repair some of that while moving towards legalized recreational marijuana.
So a little bit more towards equity.
Yes, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a lot of money given to the Orioles Stadium and the Ravens Stadium, a lot of money given to the Commanders down in Laurel, even though they might not stay there. There are tax cuts for retirees. They say 80% of retirees in Maryland will benefit from the tax cut bill.
Really?
That was passed on a bipartisan basis. You know, Republicans always want tax cuts, and the Democrats in this instance supported it as well, because there was a $7.5 billion surplus in the budget this year. So the governor was able to, you know, pay for some things this year that in prior years, you know, might not have made it.
Do you think folks could see that in their 2022 tax?
Yeah. The retiree tax cuts will happen for you know, IRS year 2022. There were also a bunch of little bills that make some purchases tax-free, like diapers, bottles, you know, car seats, things like that, will all be tax-free. Will medical devices, such as thermometers, pulse oximeters, blood pressure monitors, and those bills are all effective July 1 this year. So if you can hold out on buying that thermometer until July 2nd, it'll be tax-free.
That's a good idea. Laurie, we're getting towards the being out of time here. Could you tell us a little bit about what our listeners can do to help?
So, I mean, I think the most important thing you can do is to engage with your legislators. You can go on the MGA, the Maryland General Assembly website, and click on Find My Representative. And you put your address in, and it'll tell you who your state senators are and who your state delegates are. And they want to hear from constituents. So you should call them up. You should write them an email when you agree with a bill. Like if you sign up for our alerts next year and you support a bill, you need to tell your legislator. And, you know, really, I would get engaged now in the gubernatorial race and the attorney general race and the comptroller race that are statewide, that are extremely important to citizens in Maryland. And so I really, really urge people to go out and vote.
Great, great. And one way they can do it, of course, is signing up for your legislative alerts.
Absolutely, at www.wlcmd.org. Like if you're a climate person, find a climate nonprofit. They will have alerts as well. so that you know what's going on and can call your legislator and say, please support this bill. So whatever your flavor is, whatever your particular interest is, there's somebody out there advocating in Annapolis.
And an important, I think, thing that to mention that I'm sure you would agree with is that if you just talk about it, if you just get mad about it, it doesn't do anything. You really have to do something about it.
Yes, and absolutely.
And Laura, you have given us some wonderful ways to do it. Unfortunately, though, that's all the time we have remaining in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Laurie Ruth, who is Legal Director of the Women's Law Center of Maryland, for being our guest today. Thank you, Laurie, for such great information. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.